This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض، ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, if there is probably one word that can sum up the crisis of the world today in terms of health, in terms of wealth, in terms of social situation, then surely it is the absence of barakah in our lives. There isn't barakah in our health, there isn't barakah in our wealth, there isn't barakah in our relationships, there isn't barakah in anything. What is barakah? Al-manafi'u al-kathira bi-asbab al-qaleela. Al-manafi'u al-kathira bi-asbab al-qaleela. Where we have maximum output with minimum provisions. So the time might not be long, but the achievements in that time is great. The food might not be too much, but the goodness out of that meal, the benefit out of that meal is far-reaching. When we look into the lives of our pious predecessors, Jalaluddin Suyuti Mahalli, one of them write that I composed and compiled the tafsir of 15 juz of the Quran in the duration that Sayyidina Musa went to meet Allah and receive the Torah. That is, in 40 days, he compiled the commentary of 15 juz of the Quran. We barely can understand the commentary of one juz adequately and aptly and correctly and in a wholesome way, and he compiled it. This is how meaningful that time was. Hasan Basri, describing the Sahaba, said, وَلَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ أَقْوَامًا وَلَقَدْ أَدْرَكْتُ أَقْوَامًا كان أحدهم أشح على عمره منه على درهمه. That if I have to describe Sahaba, they were a nation more possessive over their time than their money. You could get any amount of money from them, but you couldn't get time from them. No, sorry, it's my time. This is vital, this is key, this is important. I cannot just allow my time to run away. So today, by and large, there isn't a shortage of abundance, but there is a shortage of goodness and blessings in what we enjoy. And one of the guaranteed ways of maximizing the output of what Allah has given us is to use our resources objectively for the deen of Allah. Every one of us has a role to play in turning the wheel. Every one of us have to put our shoulders to the wheel. There's just simply no exception. In Hayatul Sahaba, on the occasion of Tabuk, there's an incident that is mentioned that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted the Sahaba to spend. And then each one made his contribution and his donation. And there was a Sahabi by the name of Ulba, Rajulun Mashhurun min al Ansar, who was from amongst the Ansar. He stood up that night when the appeal was made and people made their respective donations and contributions, and he said, Allahumma innaka amartana wa raghabtana thumma lam taj'al indi ma atatawwa bihi. Oh Allah, you have exhorted us, impressed upon us, encouraged us, motivated us that we respond to the call of deen with our health, wealth and resources. And then by your decree and your decision, you haven't given me the financial clout and muscle that I can make a tangible donation. So what is the exhortation to donate? Be my financial standing doesn't warrant this. But I cannot imagine myself being denied and deprived when everybody else will do their bit and I'm sitting high and dry. So I'm going to offer something to the cause, which is not tangible, but is probably the only thing that I have. وَإِنِّي أَتَصَدَّقُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَإِنِّي أَتَصَدَّقُ. And I give charity in your path regarding anyone and everyone who has offended me, who has violated me, who has insulted me, who has hurt me in any way. بِكُلِّ مَظْلِمَةٍ أَصَابَنِي فِي مَالٍ أَوْ جَسَدٍ أَوْ عِرْضٍ. So somebody has told me something bad, something nasty. I have a right to retaliate. I've been offended. I've been violated. I don't have money. I don't have funds. I don't have anything tangible. So I'm making this intangible donation to you. And I gave you the reference of where I read it. You can see it up yourself in the second volume of Hayat al-Sahaba. Anyway, he made his donation and his contribution, and that was about it. The night passed, the morning came, it was the flush of dawn, the break of dawn. The Sahaba came forward, they made their contributions, and this Sahabi stood on the sides, nothing serious to offer. The Messenger said, Manil mutasaddiqul bariha. Last night somebody gave charity, would you please make yourself known? Again, he didn't think the reference was to himself. Manil mutasaddiqu bi'irdihi al-bariha. Last night someone donated his self-esteem and his honor and his right, his first, his respect and his self-esteem. So he modestly raised his hand and said, O Prophet of Allah, that was me. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abshir fa walladhi nafsi biyadihi laqad kutibat fi zakat al-mutaqabbala. Glad tidings to you, my brother. You made a donation between you and Allah, unknown to anyone, probably the first of its kind, unheard of, because it's not in monetary definition, it's not something tangible that we can put you on the table, but it was your commitment. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَنْ فِقُونَ. There were many groups when it came to taboo. In the concluding verses of the 10 Juz in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no reproach, there's no blame, there is no chastisement upon that segment from amongst the Sahaba. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ. Who come to you and say, O Prophet of Allah, but we don't have anything to donate. Can you probably give us a conveyance we can mount on to it? And you say to them, لَا أَجِبُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. I'm afraid there isn't a dime in my possession. So, well, no. They don't rejoice that they are unable to give. They tear and cry. They sob. وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. That I have absolutely nothing, why can I not help the cause? إِنَّمَا السَّبِيلُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ وَهُمْ أَغْنِيَاءُ رَضُوا بِأَنْ يَكُونُوا مَعَ الْخَوَالِفِ. Blameworthy are those who enjoy their financial stability and economically they are sound and healthy and stable, and yet they withdraw and they do not support the cause. Surely they are blameworthy. Nonetheless, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Uqbah radiallahu anhu, Abshir, glad tidings. For when let nafsi be a day, I swear by Allah whose control is my life, لَقَدْ كُتِبَتْ فِي الزَّكَاةِ الْمُتَقَبَّلَةِ. Your charity has been written, recorded, documented amongst those charities which have been accepted in the court of Allah. And it just needs that sense of acceptance, regardless of the figures, regardless of the monetary value. It's a sense of acceptance that is fulfilling and that enjoys all that. A companion came before the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he placed his hands on his head and he said, Wa dhunuba, wa dhunuba, oh my word, the sins of mine are just colossal. They're mammoth. They have just broken my back. We would say that it's an adolescent child. It is probably a nagging spouse. It's probably financial commitments. It's probably political instability. It's probably economic volatility and a host of other things that would toll on us. And here comes a companion. Wa dhunuba, oh my sins, oh my sins. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, say, Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. Oh my Lord, your pardon is more vast than my vice and my sin. And I'm more optimistic of your clemency and kindness than my noble actions. And he pronounces the prayer, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, repeat it. And he repeats it, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, you can start fresh, all has been cleaned, the slate is completely wiped out. Qum qad ghufira lak, you've been forgiven and you've been pardoned. So that was the passion with which he said it. I might say the dua, you might mimic the words, and you might read the prayer, and I might just convey it, but do I feel that as a burden in my life? Do I really consider my sin and my vice? The hadith is in Bukhari, in the first volume, where Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab said on the occasion of Hudaybiyah, when momentarily I could not comprehend the prophetic wisdom in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam surrendering to all the one-sided conditions that were put upon the Muslims. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very polite and very submissive and very accommodating. And for a moment I lost my balance and my composure. And I said, oh Prophet of Allah, can I take you aside and have a word with you please? Can I talk to you for a moment? And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood aside. And he said, أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَهُمْ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. Am I not understanding the situation correctly? Is Islam not the correct religion? Surely it is. Is it not those that have passed away on our sides are in paradise? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes indeed. And then Sayyidina Umar said, but then why is such a passive approach? Why, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are so compliant, you are so submissive, you are so gentle, you are so accommodating. And he said, Umar, the moment doesn't warrant to go into details. Suffice to say, I am the Prophet of Allah and I will do nothing against the will of Allah. That's all I can tell you for now. You know, a son is getting at his dad, but dad, why like this? Listen, my boy, when you come my age, you know what I said. If I'm alive, come and kiss me, and if I'm in my grave, come and pray at my grave. That's it. I can't give you the details now. As you will evolve and mature, you will realize. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, I backstab, and then I settle, and then the reality hit me. And I said, Umar, did you realize in that moment when you lost your composure and you lost your balance, hello, you were talking to the Prophet of Allah himself. Today's young man would be loud, would be proud, would be arrogant, would be flamboyant, wouldn't care less, walk out, snub his mom, be raw to his parent, you know what, parade the streets, be loud and walk out, and he cares no less. The sanity doesn't settle even after the night passes. In fact, I said recently at a talk, and I'm going to say it again because I have the flesh in my mind, that often our parents and our seniors impress upon us certain values, and due to our naivety and due to our weakness and our immaturity, we resist their vision. And as time moves on, inevitably, the reality of what they say will dawn upon us. There can be no doubt that those seniors will forgive us and they have forgiven us. But often in life, when the reality dawns upon you, you will not be able to forgive yourself. The old man will move on and he will clearly say, I was my son, he was a young boy, oh, those are kids. He won't harbor that, he'll move on. Your teacher will move on. But the time reality would strike you, my brother, and strike me. I wonder if we were able to forgive ourselves. And the message is then clear. Why wait for such a scenario where the regret is irreversible and irrevocable? Make amends now and do what needs to be done so that we don't have to contend with such bitter situations. May Allah guide and protect. Sayyidina Umar said, أَعْمَلْتُ لِذَلِكَ أَعْمَالًا أَعْمَلْتُ لِذَلِكَ أَعْمَالًا. That day till the day I left my life, I would endeavor to expiate and atone and compensate for that mistake of mine till my last breath, asking my Creator to forgive me. The ulama say, بَقَاءُ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى أَرْضَى. An ideal existence on planet Earth would be if four categories of people are prevalent. that would be an ideal scenario on earth. Living, inhabiting this earth, walking on this planet would be really pleasant if there are four types of people on this earth. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء وَبِعَدْلِ الْعُمَرَاء وَبِسَخَاوَةِ الْأَغْنِيَاء وَبِدُعَاءِ الْفُقَرَاء. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء. As long as we have a panel of scholars, a dedicated, you know what, panel and group of truly endowed people who carry the sciences of ilm, who truly live up to the demands of knowledge. When Qarun came out in his pomp and glory, and people who were desirous of this world, their eyes shot out, and they were very much attracted to him, and they said, "Wow, ya layta lana mithla ma utiya Qarun innahu lazu hadhin 'azim." That is what you term and refer to as blessed, lucky, and fortunate. The Quran said the instant reaction of those who possess knowledge. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who carry knowledge, they said, "Wait, hang on, don't be so shallow in your gaze, don't be so limited. Don't just see on the surface. Look with the deeper eye. Look with the inner eye. What happens beyond?" So we refer to those who carry the true knowledge of deen, who embody the sciences of deen, who exhibit the character of deen. When we read about the knowledge of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, يَتَفَجَّرُ الْعِلْمُ مِنْ جَوَابِمِهِ وَتَنْتِقُ الْحِكْمَةُ مِنْ نَوَاحِيهِ. May Allah preserve those scholars amongst us who possess that. And those that are aspiring, may Allah make them the true ambassadors of deen. A woman came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and she said that my brother has moved on, and he left behind an estate of 600 dirhams, وَلَمْ يُقْسَمْ لِي مِنْهَا إِلَّا دِرْهَمْ. And I was only given 1,000 dirham out of the whole estate. 600 and I was only given one. Is this fair? Look at the knowledge of Sayyidina Ali. He said, لَعَلَّهُ تَرَكَ أُمَّنْ وَزَوْجَةً وَبِنْتَيْنِ وَإِثْنَيْ عَشَرَ أَخًا وَأَنْتِي. Instantly, what did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu say? A person came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, "Listen, my brother passed away," a woman, and she said, "My brother passed away, 600 dirhams, I only got one." Look at the knowledge and the wisdom of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, "It looks like your late brother left behind a mum, he left behind a spouse, he left behind two daughters, 12 brothers and one sister." She's like, "Yeah." Okay, then one dirham is correct. Then one dirham is correct. So, but how did you get this in order? He said, "Well, that's it, 600. And if you know inheritance, you would know it's one of the most delicate, one of the most intricate jurisprudic rulings. But this was knowledge, bi'ilmi al-ulama." So then briefly he went through it. He said, "Listen, in terms of the rights of this, the mother, وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَ السُّدُسُ مِمَّا تَرَكَ إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ." So the parent would have 1/6, so from 600 cut out 100, you'd have 500. And then when it refers to the spouse, if there are children, then the wife would receive 1/8. وَلَهُنَّ الرُّبُعُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ. And she would inherit a quarter if you don't have any children. فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ وَلَدٌ فَلَهُنَّ الثُّمُنُ مِمَّا تَرَكْتُمْ. And if you leave behind children, then it's 1/8. So 1/8 of the entire 600, that is 75, that goes to the spouse. And then the two daughters, two or more, would receive 2/3. فَإِنْ كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ. Generally, to memorize this ayah is difficult, never mind anything else. People grapple with the sheer memorization. People grapple with the sheer, I'm talking of بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء. بِعِلْمِ الْعُلَمَاء. Just, we need to create and empower and motivate and create within our communities scholars who have that deep knowledge, who have that profound understanding. Because I read in Kitab al-Zuhd, in the words of Isa alayhi salam, he said, when the food is not tasty, you add salt to it. to add flavor. But when the salt is corrupted, there's nothing to flavor the salt. And he said that is the condition of ulama. When a society is not good, the scholars bring about that flavor. But Allah forbid, if the very scholars are corrupted, then where do we turn to? And there's a beautiful quotation in Tafsir al-Ghafilin, and I often quote this because this puts things into balance, both from the masses and the scholars. So someone said to a scholar, he said, you know what? Things have changed and degenerated and declined. And the scholars of today no longer can mesmerize an audience. They no longer can captivate an audience. They no longer have the profound effect that the people of the past had. And the people of the past, they had that charisma, they had that strength, they had that vigor in them. So look at the answer that was given. One of the most brilliant answers that I've ever read in my life in this topic. He said, إِنَّ عُلَمَاءَ السَّلَفِ كَانُوا أَيْقَاظًا وَكَانَ النَّاسُ نِيَامًا فَنَبَّهَ الْأَيْقَاظُ النِّيَامُ وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْدًا إِنَّ عُلَمَاءَ السَّلَفِ كَانُوا أَيْقَاظًا وَكَانَ النَّاسُ نِيَامًا. In the previous time, the scholars were vibrant, they were active, they were hands-on, and the masses were in slumber and sleep. They were a bit, you know what, dozing off, they were in snooze. So the active, the vibrant scholars, they came and politely just cajoled them and motivated them and inspired them and got them onto action. But now the era in which we live, the scholars are asleep and the masses are dead. وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْتَى وَعُلَمَاءُ زَمَانِنَا نِيَامٌ وَالنَّاسُ مَوْتَى. And I don't have to tell you what you're going to get out of a sleeping man to revive himself or then to motivate those next to him. So the point I'm saying here is there is a role everybody has to play. And one of the crises that has stagnated our growth and paralyzed us is we have and found ourselves in a situation of a blame game. So constantly I believe I'm a victim of somebody else. It's because of him my marriage is not working. Because of her my marriage is not working. It's because of this institution we're not going forward. It's because of my neighbor we're not happy in our home. So the woman needs to rise beyond the mentality of victim and assume responsibility. Allah speaks about this in the Quran, that there were these brothers, and it's very topical and relevant to our occasion here, that there was a father who had a beautiful orchard. Every time he would harvest the crops and pluck the fruit, it was his noble habit to give charity. It was his noble habit, and Sayyidina Uthman said, your charity will not be accepted until and unless you believe that you need the reward more than the poor person needs the food. Until and unless you don't believe that I need the reward, surely you need the meal. The person needs the shelter. And I said yesterday in London, I was an eyewitness to the slide and the different presentations, and my word for testimony is that everything that was said here is an absolute reality. There's no exaggeration to the description that was put here. So this father had this good habit. Every time he's trying to harvest the crops, the poor would come, he would give them a chunk, the others he would bring home, some he would eat, and the others would go to the marketplace. The poor had their share, the family ate, and the business continued. When the old man moved on, the children inherited this. And this mentioned in Ma'riful Quran, with reference to different tafaseer, that these youths were in that skill and that drive and that field. And what were their words? The old man was but foolish. The old man was naive. Now it's time we need to be methodical. We need to be circumspect. We need to be calculated. We need to do our figures, our checks and our balances. And this is not going to happen anymore. Gone are the days where a poor man lines up. So they decide, and listen with the ear of the heart, my brother. Listen with the ear of the heart. Everybody wants barakah. What were my opening comments? I just need barakah in my life. Sheikh, make dua. One brother did me a favor, and then he said, I just need a quick dua. I said, what? Just make dua that Allah gives me strength to overcome my ego. I'm like, oh brother, that's not an easy dua. The way you're making it sound, well, the supplication is simple, but to achieve that, you know, a brother said, to drop my gaze when I'm tempted with sin is easy, but when I drop it to persevere on the uneasiness, that's the challenge. So what happens is they decide. We're going to change strategy. And look at the words of the Quran. فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. Oh my words. فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. They advance while they chit-chat discreetly. التخافت in Arabic means to whisper. يَتَخَافَتُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا عَشْرًا. نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذْ يَقُولُ أَمْثَلُهُمْ طَرِيقَةً إِلَّا بِثْتُمْ إِلَّا يَوْمًا. Allah has quoted different reactions of the people on the day of judgment regarding their duration in this world. So it would be asked to them, how long you stayed in this world? A group from amongst them would quarrel and they would look at one another. I think it was 10 days. Yeah, we were here for 10 days. When someone would interject and say, no, he's a liar. How dare you say 10 days? It was only one day. When a third group would interject and say, no, how dare you call it a day? It was a morning or an evening. كَأَلَّمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. It was a morning and an evening. When a fourth group would interject and say, no, how dare you call it a day of a morning or an evening? وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ يُقْسِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ مَا لَبِثُوا غَيْرَ سَاعَةً. You're talking of seconds. You're talking of split seconds. So Allah will say, by your definition, it was such a short time. You mean you couldn't obey me for that little while? You mean you couldn't keep your act in order for that short period of time? So here they advance. وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ while they chit-chat discreetly. And what's the discussion? أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. That no beggar will come here. وَغَدَوْ عَلَىٰ أَرْضٍ قَادِرِينَ. أي عَلَىٰ بُخْنٍ قَادِرِينَ. And they advance with a calculated plan that we are in control. We are on top of this here. So listen, it's watertight. It's sorted out. There's no loopholes. There's no niche. Nobody can exploit. This thing is under control. We're on top of the situation. We get there so early that the regular time in which the bankers would come, it would be done and dusted. They have not yet deprived anyone. Furthermore, they have not deprived anyone of a due. They have only brought contamination in the endeavor. They've only polluted the intention. And look at the ripple effects. Allah sends a divine torment. And Allah reduces this to smithering. And Allah wipes it out completely. When they finally arrive at the orchard, which they inherited from their late father, their first reaction was, hang on, we've come to somebody else's orchard. This is not ours. This is not ours. This is not ours. So confident that the plan is on track. It was destroyed beyond recognition. Their first words were, قَالُوا إِنَّا لَضَلُّونَ. We made a mistake. And then they looked back and went, hang on. بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. No. We've been deprived. Now the Quran says, and the scholars of Tafsir have elaborated on this here, to add salt to injury, to compound, instead of taking responsibility, each one starts throwing the blame at one another. But because of you. And this is what happens in our marriages, this is what happens in our institutions, is there is a crisis now, something has happened. أَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَدَاوَمُونَ. And until and unless they did not progress from that point, they achieved nothing. Finally, they realize that, listen, we are progressing. We are not moving forward. Subhana Rabbina in kunna inna kunna tadeen. Every one of us is liable. Every one of us has made a mistake. He could have influenced, but then you have the chance to deny or decline or resist. So each one of us take responsibility for the wrong that we've done. And thereafter they repent and they say, Asa Rabbuna an yubdilana khayran minha inna ila. That each one of us acknowledge, concede guilt, and we implore Allah to grant us something better, and then only Allah change their destiny positively. So anyway, coming back to the point I was saying, and that's just a perfect point of reflection in the context of our address today, that we don't know which action generates what barakah. We don't really understand where the barakah is coming. So here there were two brothers. One was sitting in the company of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and one was engaged in an occupation, and he had some trade. شَكَلْ مُحْتَنِفُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The one in business came and said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, you need to tell my brother, I'm working, I'm toiling, I labor, I am tired, I'm gripped by fatigue. And then my brother, he sits in your company and he just sits there and I am paying all the bills. Maybe he needs to also put his bit to the wheel and assist in the economic situation." And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You enjoy the fruits that you enjoy in your business because your brother is sitting with me." There's an angle, you are doing the work, but what you make in there is because there's a mom at home praying for you. So don't think you're doing your mom a favor, your mom's doing you a big favor. Your mom's doing you a big favor. And when she goes and that door closes, and then you'll wonder what happened to Baraka. So be wise and secure enough prayers from her while she's alive to rescue your generations even beyond the demise. And the Messenger said, "La'allaka turzaqu bihi." And the dua of an orphan, the narration of Ibn Majah, "Khayru baytil muslimina baytun fihi yateemun yuhsanu ilayhi, wa sharru baytil muslimina baytun fihi yateemun yusaru ilayhi." There is no, what is the yardstick, what is the benchmark through which we analyze the excellence of a Muslim home? I often say, we've stepped into this culture where we try and preserve an Islamic identity by the norms of society. So you need to know it's a Muslim home, so on the door it must be, when you ring the bell, "Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum." Or many people, I'm not sure here is the culture here, but back home, you must have a 786 phone number. That's symbolic to an Islamic identity. Now these are created by ourselves. These are things we thrive on. In principle, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's no virtue to it. There's no merit to it. Live the day, walk the talk, exhibit it, deliver on it. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That we embody, we reflect, and we exhibit it. And we hold on to these things, and we clutch on to this here, believing that these are adequate testimonies to our faith in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm afraid we are seriously wrong and confused in this regard. So coming back to the point that I was saying, bi'ilmin ulama. This hadith, Ibn Majah, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? How do you know it's a Muslim home? What is the excellency of a Muslim home? If there is an orphan in that house. And if logistics don't allow for an orphan to physically live in my house, then surely finances can arrange for me to take care of an orphan at some other location. Why is the Arabic proverb is, "Mala yudraku kulluhu, la yutraku kulluhu." Mala yudraku kulluhu, la yutraku kulluhu. If something cannot be fully accomplished in its optimum capacity, in its ideal situation, then don't shirk, ignore, and shun it totally. If you can't have an ideal scenario, then don't have the worst scenario totally. خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The noblest of homes is بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ, a home in which an orphan lives. And if you read the verses of the Quran regarding orphans, there are so many injunctions. وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Allah says, if your eyes close now, what would be the aspiration that would grip your heart regarding the broader society? I wish my friend from across the road, I wish my brother and my sibling can rise beyond their differences and embrace my kids and secure their future. That would be your desire in your heart. Well then you should deliver the same for your brother whose eyes have closed and he's left behind children. The incident of Bashir ibn Aqaba, I often mention it, it's in Al-Isaba fi Tamiz al-Sahaba. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in campaign, and Bashir radiallahu anhu's mom was late, and then his father had accompanied the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the group returned, and these were the teachings. Again, our deen is beautiful, my brother. Our deen is beautiful. Our deen is not worship exclusive, rigidity exclusive. Our deen has legislated concession. Let me qualify that statement as concession, but legislated concession. So I'm not at liberty to exercise my thoughts and create the flexibility. The Messenger's life is returning from a campaign. What is the Sahaba? Spirituality is at its optimum. It's the golden era. But the teachings are held outside Medina. Let an envoy take the message into Medina. Let the woman who was busy and attending to domestic chores get the information of the return of her husband so she can tidy herself up, neaten herself up. So that she can doll herself up, she can beautify herself up. So when the husband returns, there is a good relation, there is a warm ambiance, there is a lovely relation. These are the teachings of Islam. Look at the richness of our deen. There's an absolute balance and there's room and place for everything. Sometimes we hit a level of spirituality, we become oblivious of the rights of our spouse and children. And sometimes we become engrossed in the recreational rights of our family, we become heedless of our obligation to Allah. The greatest challenge of deen is to strive to find balance. The greatest challenge of deen is to strive to find balance. When you got married, nobody said, don't take care of your mom. And nobody said, ignore your wife. Hang on, my brother, that you need broad shoulders now. And I'm talking to the man, and this is serious stuff. You need broad shoulders. I have a mom and I have a wife. And I have to strike the fine balance. And I have to walk the sensitive road. So striking the fine balance, this is key. So the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returns, they camp outside. The children come out to receive their father, their uncle, their brother, etc. The little boy Bashir comes up and he rotates his gaze and he doesn't see his father anywhere. He comes up to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulallah, mada fa'ala abi? Oh Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm looking for my dad, I don't see him. And the moment is too emotional and the Prophet of Allah cannot make eye contact with him. The Prophet of Allah cannot make eye contact. And we need to ask ourselves serious questions, my brothers. This catastrophe, this tragedy, there's so much that is rocking the planet daily. Have we lost the sensitivity? Have we lost the sensitivity? We can see carnage, we can see brutality, we can see images, we can see so much. And after all that, what's the news? Who's playing and who scored a goal? But hang on, my brother, hang on, hang on. Hassan al-Basri says, it was the time of iftar. It was the time of iftar. I fasted a long day. And I was about to break my fast. And I hear somebody read the verse of the Quran. Inna ladayna ankala wa jahima wa ta'aman dha ghussatin wa adaban alima. Surely we have shackles with which we would detain the occupants of hell. And food that would not be palatable, which would not go down their throat. And when I heard this ayah, it had such an impact on my heart, I lost my taste buds, I couldn't eat. At the time of iftar, we are hungry, my brother. No image of carnage is going to make a difference to me. I was fasting. And then he breaks his fast as a ritual, but he doesn't eat, he doesn't indulge. He says, no, this ayah has just hit me. Come next day at the time of iftar, there's mention in Madari of Tanzil in the commentary of the Sahih, that's where I read it. Come the next day at the time of iftar again, he has a flash of that ayah, he wouldn't able to eat. This continues for 3 days, one ayah makes him lose his appetite. Then they get David Banani and they say, listen, you are close to the man, probably you're the only one who can impress him. I'm saying this is how sensitive they were to situations and how they took effect from it. We can see that we can go back and we can relax and just chill. When I went up to this place, where they gave out the food hampers, it was so cold, the climate was so harsh, that I found it difficult to exit the vehicle and hand over the hamper and stand there for a moment, which they asked me to do, because it was so simple, hopping over a puddle, you're having a chicken or some poultry, it could fly over your shoulders, it was a bit slippery, it was sleet, it was cold, it was windy, and I'm trying to get there to give the hamper, and may Allah bless them for giving me the opportunity to be part of the mission, and these people are living there, these people are living, and then you realize, you know, sometimes in life, Allah doesn't fulfill your request, but Allah exposes you to another side of life, and then you realize that Allah, I'm happy where I am. I'm happy where I am. In English, they say, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at also change. When you change the way you look at things, there's a different lens is on. You're looking with a different eye. Hang on, hang on, hang on. So you were down, depressed, sore, uneasy, and then in the whole engagement of the day, you needed to pass by a clinic and just go and comfort a person who's in the trauma unit. And as you walk into the trauma unit, and you heard a cry, and you heard a scream, and you heard a pain, and you seen a child, and you seen a tear, and then you said, wait, 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 Allah, you brought me here for a reason. You brought me here for a reason. Hang on, hang on. Am I moaning and groaning that I need additional pounds to buy my latest phone or to secure a business class ticket to take my children for a holiday? No, no, Allah, you brought me here for a reason. So really, when you know what, brothers, a companion came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is my personal, it's the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so I am nothing in its regard, but I have seen it myself. The words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the absolute truth, and that is the reality. أَنَّ رَجُلًا شَكَى إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ قَصْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ. A person came and he said, O Prophet of Allah, my heart has become hard. My heart has become hard. So I'm not sensitive. Now today we've lost so much that our heart has become hard and we've become immune to a harder heart. So it's like, I cannot cry, but you also don't cry, but everybody doesn't cry, so I don't think I'm all that bad. That's the way we comfort ourselves. It can't be too bad. I often say in the group of Sahaba, the one who couldn't cry was the odd one. In our gathering, the one who cries is the odd one. If somebody cried, like, brother, is his brother okay? I don't know. Hope it's all stable, brother. Relax, brother. It's just a talk. Don't take it too serious. Take a max serious. I was sitting in a lounge, waiting to board a flight. I wasn't following, but supposedly some game was on. And suddenly there's this awful cry, and people all stand up in excitement. I'm like, is all okay here? No, but he scored a goal. Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, that's fine. I was just wondering if things are in order here. Because, like, you know, they say there's a child in every adult. For that, they all the adults are children. There's a child in every adult. You know, some old elderly people, but he eats like candy and chocolate. Like, is he a 5 year or 50 year? Okay, well, there's a child in every adult. A person said, "Oh, Allah, Allah, my heart, it's gone hard." ثم قست قلوبكم من بعد ذلك فهي كالحجارة أو أشد قسوة وإن من الحجارة لما يتفجر منه الأنهار وإن منها لمن يشطط فيخرج منه الماء وإن منها لما يهبط من خشية الله وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. Then your hearts hardened, they became like rocks and boulders. Nay, they became harder than rocks and boulders. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ, there is a type of a rock that would split asunder. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ, rivers would flow, you can dig canals and it would irrigate land. وَإِنَّ مِنَا لَمَا يَشَّطَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَارِ, there would be yet another rock that might not give off water in such a capacity, but water would trickle down and somebody's thirst would be quenched. And then there would be a foreign rock on the side of the tree, on the side of the road, that would not give off water, but the Quran says it would slip and roll out of the fear of Allah. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطْ مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ. And oh man, you breathe such a low, and you don't present any of the benefits. You're not getting off that water, you're not getting off that comfort, you're not tearing out of the fear of Allah. So when this person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, my heart has become hard," the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do two things: imsah ra's al-yatim wa at'im al-miskin." You are staying away from the poor, and you are not assimilating and associating with the orphans. This is where the problem lies. Do more social work, reach out to the poor, sit with the orphans, and you will see how your heart will soften and you will cry. Crying in dua is something that is meritorious. It is something that is recommended, my brother. May Allah bless me with those tears. May Allah bless you with those tears. When you chat with your Creator and tears well up in your eyes, the feeling is exhilarating. The feeling is fulfilling. The feeling is wholesome. The feeling is just unexplainable. You're chatting with your Creator and you're tearing away. this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just loves. Allah has described it in many, many places in the Quran. The hadith is in Bukhari regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Inna Aba Bakrin rajulan bakka'a la yamliku aynayhi idha qara'a al-Quran. Inna nakhsha ay yaftina nisa'ana wa abna'ana. Mur Aba Bakrin falyabud rabbahu fi darihi. The people from the neighborhood told Ibn Dadina, this man Abu Bakr, when he reads Quran, he hits a spiritual ecstasy. And the man tears and cries and sobs so much that people actually mobilize and they stand silent and they just watch this man. And it has a magnetic effect. That is the beauty of the Quran. There's an incident that is mentioned regarding Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma and their cousin Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhuma. Three of them embark on the journey of Hajj. So as they travel on the journey of Hajj, فَفَاتَتْهُمْ أَثْقَالُهُمْ, they lose their provisions. They lose their provisions. And things can happen. The quotation is in Hidayah, أَلْمَالُ غَادٍ وَرَائِهِ, that wealth comes and goes. Nobody has an anchor over it. Nobody is permanently wealthy. It comes today, it's gone tomorrow. So nobody can claim absolute authority and monopoly to say that if I'm wealthy, my generations will be wealthy. We've seen people who were paupers and then their descendants were wealthy. فَلَوْ كَانَ بِاللُّبِّ يَزْدَادُ النَّبِيبُ غِنًا لَكَانَ كُلُّ لَبِيبٍ مِثْلَ قَارُونِ. فَلَوْ كَانَ بِاللُّبِّ يَزْدَادُ النَّبِيبُ غِنًا لَكَانَ كُلُّ لَبِيبٍ مِثْلَ قَارُونِ. If it was sheer intellect that would secure wealth, and every intelligent man would have had an empire like Qarun. And another poet said, وَمِنَ الْقَضَاءِ وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَحُكْمِهِ بُؤْسُ اللَّبِيبِ وَطِيبُ عَيْشِ الْأَحْمَقِ. The proof of destiny, the proof of taqdeer. There are so many uneducated people that are living an affluent life, and there are so many qualified individuals that are looking for employment. وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَحُكْمِهِ وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَحُكْمِهِ بُؤْسُ النَّبِيِّ, intelligent but is in a crisis. وَطِيبُ عَيْشِ الْأَحْمَقِ, and a foolish, naive, uneducated, unskilled, incompetent individual. I met a person in North America. He never studied much. So I told him, subhanAllah, he said, Allah gave me the wealth that I can employ all those with the qualifications. So I didn't have the necessary degrees, and all those that have the degrees, I have the company and the plant where I need their skills. So they do the operation, I pay the bills. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. And we've elevated some over others, some in financial capacity, others in strength and skill. And it is the dependence of labor and the dependence of remuneration. And this dedication and this distribution of skin and finance is in the mind wisdom. And this is the system I have ordained so that the wheel of life can turn. How beautifully Allah has said, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Anyway, I don't want to digress. My time is running out and I have a flight also. And we've had a... That's all? Okay. I'm given the red light, or the orange light. So let's speak on this incident and we wrap up, and then obviously the brothers will take the floor and they would forward the appeal, and inshallah you would leave them impressed, and we all would, like I said, it's our deen. And we have a responsibility to every aspect of deen. We have a responsibility to every aspect of deen. It's a deen in its entirety. Somebody said it's like the different rooms of one house. We can't say, you know, the kitchen is the most important. You don't have a kitchen where you cook. Or you don't have a bedroom where you stay. Right? So it's different rooms of a common house. And everything is vital. And everything is important. And everything has its role. And we are all ambassadors and responsible people of this deen. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. ارْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبَرَةً وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلَةً وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمَا بَنُونَ. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ journey. Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hussein radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Ja'far, their cousin. Fate has it such that they lose their provisions. You lack everything and books. Person traveling, while you're traveling, and I travel often, and I often say this here, while I'm on the flight, while I'm sitting, while I'm moving, constantly your hand goes on your pocket. Is my wallet there? Is my mobile phone there? And is my passport here? I was just saying to Chef Quran, I was coming back from the Caribbean very recently, and I dropped my phone just before leaving the hotel and flying a hop from there to Canada and then to Dubai and home without the phone. I don't have to tell you how that could be a flight. You know, the level of dependency. Khalid Bey has written beautifully in one of his articles. He said, we are a nation blessed and cursed by our innovation. Blessed and cursed by our innovation. We are so blessed with technology, but at the same time, we are so cursed with technology. Without that, we cannot function. We cannot operate. Nothing happens right. We're moody, we're temperamental, we're uneasy, we're agitated, we're anxious. So, be it as it may, anything could happen while we're traveling. We are constantly taking care of our belongings. If only we could monitor our imam so often and so constant. A person flying, I don't know if you see it, how often you see the people there at the airport and they're lying and they're reclining. One hand is in the hand luggage, the other hand is in the other bag there, and there's something here, you know, by his head, and he's clutching onto everything and he's in snooze land. You know, it's a sight. It's really a sight. If you travel often and you rotate your gaze and you see, these are inevitable things that you would be exposed to because you are tired. You know, when sleep hits you, it hits you. That's it. It just overpowers you. So they lost their provisions. They come to a house of an elderly woman and they say to her that نحن نفرم من قريش. We are a delegation of Quraysh and we are heading to Makkah. We are the residents of Medina, and we ask of you if you can offer us some provision. So she said, I just have a goat, I'll milk it, and the milk is yours. So they milk the goat, and some milk comes out, and they drink the milk. But three people, long journey, they lost their provisions. They need more than milk. While it does help the cause, but it doesn't suffice the cause. So they said, anything food, anything tangible? She said, listen, the nobility of your profile compels me to offer you whatever I have, and the truth is I only have this dunakum alladhi isfata this, and you can roast it. I would gather the firewood. Wa ana uhayyi lakum al-hatab. So she gathers the firewood, the goat, the kid is slaughtered, the meat is then cooked and roasted. They eat the meal and they are satiated, the thirst is quenched. They said that nahnu raji'un, we will return to Medina after our hajj. When we return, please pay us a visit. Please pay us a visit. فَإِنَّا صَانِعُونَ بِكِ خَيْرًا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. We would love to reimburse and compensate you for your kindness. She said, it's fine. You know, people say, Allah, you'll see a lot of good. Well, for now the man left and you wonder. For the moment, you're still dealing with the same challenges of life. But at some point, the goodness is going to come back. And that's our belief. أَلِجَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. The reward of goodness is goodness. Now, Allah will pay the dividends. When, how, what? Allah will pay. I don't have time to go into so many explanations of this ayah. Be it as it may, the husband returns. And he's hungry, and so where's the goat and the kid, and where's the milk? And I'm afraid we had some high-profile, prominent pilgrims embarking on the sacred journey, and I felt ethically and morally and spiritually obliged to honor them and be hospitable, so I afforded them the goat that we had. So he was obviously not impressed by this. And he said, تَذْبَحِينَ شَاتَنَا لِقَوْمٍ لَا نَعْرِفُهُمْ ثُمَّ تَقُولِينَ نَفَرْ مِنْ قُرَيْشٍ. This is very strange. You're very generous and you casually give the only source of income, and then you want to appease me on the pretext that these people are noble. I'm not all that impressed. And then things hit a dirt. These people continue on the journey for hunt and then they return. Things here go deep down. Financially it starts, you know, declining, and it hits such a low that they leave Makkah and they start traveling in the search of livelihood. And as they travel, they come into Medina, يَلْتَقِطَانِ الْبَعْرَ. And they literally, husband and wife, old and age, they're picking up the droppings of an animal to make livelihood. And, you know, People say, when I came from my native country, I came with a lousy 100 rupees, or I came with a $50. And they won't even say, you know, I won't even say where I had it. Not in my pocket or my wallet, elsewhere. I came with a simple, lousy $50 or 100 rupees, and today it's mushroom, and it's evolved, and it's grown into an empire, and the rest of it. And that's barakah from Allah, and may Allah increase for you more and more, my brother, and for everyone. So as they are going around and they're picking up this little droppings, والحسن يومئذ جالس على بابه. And Hassan رضي الله عنه is sitting outside and he sees this woman. And he says, أما عرفتي؟ Oh sister, have you recognized me? No, not at all. Are you not so and so? Yes indeed. Do you remember I was your visitor many years ago at this time you were traveling to Hajj? No, I don't remember. And let me just pause for a moment and objectively digress and say to you, Sayyidina Luqman Hakim told his son, oh my son, two things. One you must remember, one you must never remember. The one thing that you must remember is somebody who has done an act of kindness to you. Don't ever delete them from your memory. And the one thing you must never remember is the kindness you've done to someone. And today is the direct opposite. You look at the man. I know this guy. 30 years ago he came to me for a loan. Yeah. Complete the sentence, you didn't give him the loan. That cannot say it. But if I can you can you 30 years ago, yeah, I know him, I know him. He came to me, yeah, he was battling, grappling, he would not buy a car and the rest of it. Complete the sentence. I say to people put in their house, they say, Sheikh, I've entered my new house, please come here. Very good. Complete the ayah. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ وَمْ أَكْفُرُ. People, they stop. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Complete the ayah. This is the favor of my Lord. Quran. But your Lord didn't stop there. Sayyidina Sulaiman said that statement. When the entire throne of Bilqis was lifted, read the narration of Jalaleen. He was sitting, he said, مَنْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Who will uproot the throne of Bilqis and bring it to me, the Queen of Saba? So, قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ أَنَا أَتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَقُومَ مِنْ مَقَامِ. A very strong, robust jinn said, Your Majesty, Your Excellency, before you stand up, I'll have the throne before you. The narration of Jalaleen, أَنَا أُرِيدُ أَسْرَعَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Before I stand up, good, I'm looking for something super fast. I was listening to an interview on radio now. They are talking of 5G now. 5G, they say the speed of that, you will download a 2-hour movie in 2 seconds. Where's the world going? Where's technology going? Speed. Everything needs to be instant. Meals on wheels. Just on the run. I need something even faster. So the one of his disciples who had the knowledge of the greatest name of Allah, قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا أتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفه. Before you twitch your eye, the throne will be here. فلما رآه مستقرا عنده. That's the response of a Nabi. Never proud, never arrogant, never haughty, never loud. When he sees the entire throne was there, he said, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Oh, this is the kindness of my Lord. And he's done this to me, not because I'm anyone great. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. To test me if I can comply to the dictates and the demands of this world and this empire. And the truth is, if I'm grateful, I don't benefit him. I don't enhance his glory and his grandeur. I benefit myself. And if I'm ungrateful, it backfires at me. وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. Anyway, remember the favor. Somebody who's done you a favor, remember it. Imagine if we can live by that principle. If you took nothing else from my talk but this, I would feel it achieved, my brother. And forget the favor you've done to others. Don't be mannan. Salatatun la yukallimuhum Allah wa la yanzuru ilayhim yawm al-qiyamah wa la yuzakkihim wa lahum 'adhabun aleem. Faqala Abu Dharr al-Khawwa wa khasiru man hum ya Rasul Allah. Qala al-mannan wal-muslim wal-munaqqis sil'atahu bil-harf al-kadhib. Three people, Allah after them. Allah won't purify them. Who are they? Only because Allah, one out of the three, is who destroys his good by reminders of his generosity. Why it is important to monitor the dispensation of your funds. It is wrong to claim authority over the funds. It's important that you see the organization, you do your check and your balances, you do your homework, you must have your trust and confidence. But some people feel, if I donate, now you know what, I need to be invited to every meeting, I'm in charge, I take control of it. Have you given it to me, or have you given it to Allah? So we need a balance in place. We can't give without doing homework. We need to be trust and we need to check our balance, and I'm making a general statement here. In a broad context, we need to be responsible and liable and calculated and make sure that we are channeling our funds in the right place. But having said that, we're not at liberty that if I have given, suddenly I own the whole thing. Coming back to the point, Hasan radiallahu anhu said, I know who you are even if you don't recognize me. If I recognize someone and that person doesn't recognize me, I'll say all the better. Or I'll save myself a cup of tea. You know what? I don't have to get them home. I don't have to take them and just let it be. Let it pass. Just get yourself on the phone and look that way and everything's not seen and let time move. That's how the world is. You've lost the values. You know, before you get to someone's house, how's the family? How's your mom? Hey, how's your uncle? Is he late? How's the brother? Today you get to the house. Sorry, man, what's your Wi-Fi code? We start off with that. The basics are gone out of place. Hasan radiallahu anhu said, come here, O sister. And then he gives her 1,000 dinars. And then he gives her 1,000 sheep. 1,000 dinars. I read the narration in many places, this incident. 1,000 dinars and 1,000 sheep. And then he says, listen, sister, let's not all go. Visit my brother Hussein radiallahu anhu. He's also got something for you. It's got something for you. I often tell people on a light-hearted note, on some with humor, when you tell a person, listen, I've got an envelope for you, then you leave the man excited. And the next day when you give the envelope, you find he's got an invoice and a statement. I said, listen, don't do that to the man. Don't play with his emotions. You know what? Envelope means one thing in today's definition. Yeah. Tell him I got a statement for you. I got an invoice for you. Yeah. Don't come tell a man I've got an envelope for you, because envelope, the man's working his future holiday, you know what I mean? His mind is running. So anyway, go to my brother Hussein. I'm going to round up on this one. Go to my brother Hussein radiallahu anhu. So when Hussein radiallahu anhu sees her, he says, oh, I recognize. If it was me, and then the woman came to me and said, did my brother give you? Yeah. We give off charity from a common account. That 1,500 from us. We just take it from a family. That's a family donation. Yeah. So my brother, then we divide it. No. Each man was looking for his own gender. I marvel at these words of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Sahaba, Abu Lubaba, Ali, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were going in Badr, and three were alternating on one conveyance. And then it was time for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to dismount, and for him to walk, and the Sahabi to mount on. And the Sahaba said, oh Prophet of Allah, but how can you walk and be alive? This is not fun. How does this happen? That you walk and be alive? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, and it could only be the words of the Nabi. Ma antuma bi aqwa minni. Ma antuma bi aqwa minni. Two things I need to tell you, my Sahaba. Number one, you're not stronger than me. If you think you can walk, I can walk. And number two, I am not less in need of reward than you are. Oh my word, oh my Allah, this thing just gives me a shiver in my spine. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Listen, you are not stronger than me. I have strength, I have muscle, and that speaks volume on the strength and the muscle and the capacity of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narration is in Muslim Sharif. There was a peculiar sound that came and it disrupted the inhabitants of Medina. The Nabi of Allah didn't disturb the sleep of anyone. He got up, mounted his horse, galloped it, patrolled outside Medina. By the time the Sahaba got wind and they could chase, the Nabi of Allah had monitored, scanned the place, and he was returning. He said, Inna wajadanahu la bahra. Inna wajadanahu la bahra, which has two meanings. This camel, this horse is swift like the water in the oceans. All the sound was coming from the side of the water, but all is under control. If I am sleeping and I hear sleep, I'm going to nudge this one, or then I act like I don't hear. Ta'allam yasma'ha. What did the Nabi of Allah say? Listen, how there's a narration in Tabari. The Sahaba were traveling and it was the time to eat. And then one Sahabi said, it's time to eat. So he said, yes. So the Sahabi said, I'll slaughter the animal. So another one said, Ali yasalfuha, I'll skin the animal. So the third one said, I will roast the animal. The Prophet of Allah said, Ali yajamu'ul hatab. Okay, then I will gather the firewoods. Oh, that was a leader. Oh, that was a man who controlled the hearts of mankind. Oh, that was a man who executed it from the top with such diligence that the world would never see the likes of it. It was me, like, do quick. You said you would gather the firewood, you would come quick. The Prophet of Allah said, you skin the animal, you roast it, I'm going to gather the firewood. This was the kind of leader the Prophet said. I often say when I address people in the corporate world, you are the boss, you are the employer, Allah has given you that. But do you have to call your employee with a condescending tone? Hey, come here. Do you have to talk like that, my brother? Or can you talk respectfully, Brother Muhammad? Can you please report to the desk? And I'm not saying that employees must abuse their position. I'm saying, like, carry yourself with respect. Abu Mas'ud Badri said, I was reprimanding my slave, and I was having a go with him. And then I heard someone from the back saying, Lallahu aqdaru alayka minka ala hadha al-ghulam. Abu Mas'ud, you know, Allah has more authority over you than you have over the slave of yours. Just need to remind yourself that. Allah has more power over you. If you think you can retrench, Allah can retrench you. And when I looked, I see the Prophet of Allah, and I felt very guilty. I said, O Prophet of Allah, can I just liberate him? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, rather liberate him, otherwise the fire won't leave you. Anyway, they go to Hussein radiallahu anhu, Hussein says, take another 1,000 dinars and take another 1,000 sheep. So here this woman is sitting. What did she give? She gave one goat. She gave one goat, my brother. We're going to ask you to give that goat of yours. And for you, it's not the only goat. We have many goats. We have a whole flock of sheep. We have many assets. We have many things that Allah has given us. That was the only source. And then they go to Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Ja'far was known as Abu al-Miskin, the father of the poor. That was his title. And what did Abdullah ibn Ja'far say? He said, لَوْ بَتَعْتِ بِي لَأَتْعَبْتُهُمَا. You know, I just want to be respectful to my companions and my cousins. But if you started with me, I would have given so much, I would have tired them. When Sayyidina Umar took the Khilafah and he assumed the position, he made a profound statement. He said, Abu Bakr, big shoes to fill in. You lived such a life that you have tired your successor before he enters office. Oh, what words? لَقَدْ أَتْعَبْتَ مَنْ بَعْدَكَ. Oh, Abu Bakr, your legacy is so great that I'm tired before my inauguration, to use political context today. I'm tired when I just look at the feat you've achieved, the milestones you've achieved, what you have done in your short 2-year period. I'm tired before I start. Psychologically, I'm already down. If somebody before you is with greater command and authority, and then to follow up after that could be a daunting task, could be a tall order. So she said, I just want to be respectful to their contribution and I don't want to overstep it too much. I'll give you individually what they gave you collectively. So take 2,000 goats for me and take 2,000 dinars for Raja'at bi arba'ati alaf. This woman goes back to her husband with 4,000 goats and 4,000 dinars. And she said, this is what Allah has given us for that one goat that we gave to Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness in our health and our wealth. We ask Allah to give barakah in our noble activities. May Allah bless every brother and every sister who has come, who has donated, those who are involved in any activity of deen. I often say, there is this wildfire that's gutted in the home, that's bringing down the dwellings. We welcome anybody who has water in any form, but we don't welcome anybody who has a match in his hand. Really, we don't need to ignite more sparks here. We need to extinguish the fire. Anybody in the cause of deen, working amongst the youth, taking people out in the path of Allah, purifying the souls of people, working amongst the poor, reaching out to the non-Muslims, displaying good character, becoming du'at ila al-khayr, exploiting different forms and platforms to reach out anywhere and everywhere. May Allah bless them, may Allah guide them, may Allah motivate them, and let goodness come in their endeavors. And I even see my good brother Bilal here, and I know his family has also come here from South Africa, and she has launched a very beautiful book, and we pray to Allah to bless the tour and bless the programs, and let it be a motivation for the sisters that would attend. And surely you would see the book, it's falling in love with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and mashallah the sister has authored another book as well. So we pray for goodness in their tour as well, and everybody else here. And this basically wraps up my tour.